You are listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton. Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Training Matters. I'm Honey Shelton, and today our guest, Cindy Rowan, will share with you her experience and expertise on assessing training needs.
Cindy, tell our listeners about yourself.
Well, good morning, honey. How are you doing today? Thanks so much for having me on your show. And a little bit about me. Actually, I was a former banker, so kind of been there, seen that, done that, was in the branches and did some time in consumer lending and credit, and then found my passion in training development and never left that world, and always stayed with my roots in financial services and the credit unions and the banks. And actually started a business about 22 years ago. I keep saying I started when I was 2 years old. It sounds good. So actually I've been working with banks in a number of different capacities, helping them identify some of their training needs, helping them with some training design and delivering training, and then also evaluating training, which is a real important piece that kind of ties it all back together. So that's pretty much what I've been doing over this time, and that's how I really help banks to get them to a place where they really have a culture of customer service, their employees are performing at really high levels, and that training really becomes an investment, not just a training event, which sometimes happens with things. So that's about me, honey.
Awesome. Well, Cindy and I have known each other a couple of years. We met at the Bank Trainers Conference, something I highly recommend trainers take a look at. It's coming up again in May, and I want to say to the audience, if you want to know more about that, of course, you can go on our website, interaction-training.com, and you'll see right on the homepage a little billboard that we built to talk about that. Well, Cindy, I really identify with your background, but tell the listeners, you know, why assessing training needs is important when oftentimes I think a teller trainer, a new accounts trainer, the compliance officer believes, well, I know what I need to train on. Why is it important that a financial institution assess what the training needs actually are?
Well, like, you know, I just mentioned before about training that we want to make sure that, you know, it's viewed as an investment in our people, that it really has made our people better, it's made our bank or credit union better, that it just has multiple benefits, that we don't look at it as an expense, that it's just an event and it's over and it's done. We want to make it something very meaningful because obviously, you know, we're investing time, we're investing money in people, and that return on the investment, we want to make sure that there's something different happening as a result of training. Because as you know, honey, I mean, we've talked about this many times, training is all about change. It's all about something different, and, you know, better is always different. So when I think about it, it's really that it's not about training. It's really about performance. And like you said, you know, usually you hear from folks will say, well, we need, you know, fill in the blank training, customer service training. We need coaching. We need better managers. Whatever it is, the fill in the blank, the training. And I usually smile because that's exactly the reason why we need to assess. We need to answer the question, why? Why do we need the training? That's what training assessment is all about. Not the how, because a lot of, you know, we're as trainers, we know how to do training. We know the things to do, but why are we doing it? And then we figure out the how we're going to use all those tools that we have to answer that question. So why do we believe we need training? That's actually the first question that we need to ask. That's why the need assessment is so important. And usually, there's some kind of pressure point, which we don't really think about, and I'm not trying to make this complicated, but there's usually some kind of pressure point driving that training need. We say we need a certain type of training because of a reason, because maybe people, for some reason, aren't doing what we need them to do, or maybe we're asking them to do something that they've never done before, or maybe we're asking them to do it at a higher level. But the thing is, what really is that pressure point? That's why it's so important that we do that. We need to understand why. And we also, why it's important is we also need to take kind of a picture of where we are right now. We need to kind of understand why it is like it is. What's going on right now? What's creating that? And start to think a little bit about what we want at the end, that desired performance. You know, why it's really important is to understand what we want to have done differently. And the thing is, we need to look at what's that training design going to look like. Why this is important is because we need to know how we're going to use all the tools that we have to develop the most effective training for whatever time we have people together, whether it be on e-learning or whether it's face-to-face learning. What exactly is it that we're going to need to do that's going to help us with design? And clearly, we want to make sure that we're going to make that difference at the end. That it's really, really important that we make that difference at the end. So it's all about change. We want to make sure that we're putting our energies in the right place. We want to make sure we have the right people in the programs. We want to make sure we have the right content. And we also want to make sure that we have the right goal in mind at the end. What is it that we're really trying to accomplish at the end? And that's going to really be the driver. We have to answer all of those questions first. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't always happen. The other thing to think about, too, is that training isn't always the answer. We need to do a need assessment because maybe training isn't the answer. Maybe there's something else that's going on that maybe people do have the skills, or perhaps they just need some coaching. Perhaps they need some tools to do their job. So that need assessment is going to tell us and answer some of those questions. Do we even really need it? So basically, we want to understand what it is. That's why we want to do it. Why it's so important is that we're putting our energies and our resources in a place that's going to really yield some good results at the end, that we're going to see that do different, and everything is going to be focused to that point. So that's basically why I think it's really, really important that we start with need assessment. And I always say start with the end in mind. That's kind of the first place we want to start. But honey, you might be interested to add some thoughts here yourself, because I'm sure, like myself, a lot of times we see people get into doing training, but maybe they haven't done any need assessment. It's important, but sometimes people just don't do it. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And I like the point you made about it's about performance. You know, training isn't the end-all, be-all, but it could be a piece of what has the high impact for change. I don't know what I would add to that, Cindy. I think you did a great job of giving a good overview of especially knowing, at least benchmarking, where are we now and how does that compare to where we want to be. So how would you suggest a bank, a credit union that's never done a needs assessment before, what would you suggest they do to get started?
Okay, well, a couple things. First of all, we have to ask ourselves sometimes, why haven't we done it? And, you know, that's not a bad thing, because a lot of people, you know, sometimes there's a crunch of time that maybe we don't get into doing need assessment. It's like, or we say, we know what needs to be done. So I always say, well, with the need assessment, that's going to validate what you already know, or maybe it's going to take you in a different direction. So I think to get started, you need to ask yourself, you know, maybe why you haven't done it, or is it too difficult? which it doesn't have to be. We can make this really, really simple. But a lot of times people just don't know how. I think even myself, you know, I got into training and a lot of my background was learning to do, you know, platform skills to get up and actually do deliver the training or to create materials or create high levels of energy with the audience. So this was really not in my wheelhouse. And took a few steps back and started to realize, gee, my training isn't, it's, I know people, you know, really like it and people are doing things, but, you know, it's really not sticking or it's really not as deep as maybe I needed to go. And that's when the whole need assessment popped up, is that that's the place I really need to go. So, you know, to say to get started, I can't help you with the, you know, you don't have time because I don't know what your time's like, but I do know that the risk is if you don't do it is that maybe nothing will change or maybe you won't get the results that you want. So the first place, you know, to start, I think, is to identify, you know, what information you need to get to learn how to do that. And we're, you know, obviously giving you some today. But also just to keep in mind that need assessment is really understanding what you need to do, not how you need to do it. And I think that's where people get a little derailed. Well, if we do this and if we do that, well, we haven't gotten there yet. And I always use the analogy of, you know, kind of you go to the doctor and you go to the doctor and you're sneezing and you're coughing. And the doctor doesn't just write you the prescription for something. The doctor actually asks you a lot of questions, or the doctor might, you know, put in a thermometer or whatever. And I kind of use that analogy because people can relate to that about need assessment, that, you know, it's not, you know, we've got this drug over here that'll do something. It's the what are we dealing with? What are the issues? What do we want to accomplish with things? So if you put it in that framework, I think that's a good place to go. So if we understand, you know, what we need to do, you know, why we need to do it, why it's important, I think that's the very, very first step. And then I think, you know, there's a process, a very simple process that we can kind of walk through to do it pretty easily. How's that sound, honey?
That sounds very good. I'm just sitting here nodding my head. I picture our listeners doing the same thing. And the A to E professional development model that I created last year, of course, that A is all about assessment. And I like the point you made that you begin with the end in mind. And there's a variety of ways that I've seen people do assessments, whether that's a survey for the potential learner and a different survey for the supervisor, a focus study groups. I think it's important, and I want to hear a little bit from you about this process you mentioned. To our listeners, I would say this. Take the job description, take the performance evaluation, turn to your key partnerships to say, if I'm training, and I'm going to just use tellers, if I'm training tellers, I'd say to Mr. Compliance Officer, where do you want to see the emphasis? What do we want them to be able to do or to be able to reference when we're finished? And in my model, the A to E, the E is evaluate. How do we know they got it? How do we know that that change or improvement or that ability is in place? Tell us a little bit about the process that you think can have such a high impact on training results. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you need to make it really simple, and I think that's one of the reasons why we don't do it a lot of times, because we think, oh, we have to do all of this elaborate work. And, you know, if we keep it real simple, I've found this six-step process to just be very, very, very simple. And, you know, that's a great point that you bring up, honey, about evaluation, because the thing is, you need to know what you're going to evaluate. You're not going to wait till you go through all of the training and then say, oh, we need to evaluate it. You know, we've got to start once again with that end in mind. It's just, you know, like when we went to school, that at the beginning of the semester, the teacher would give you the outline or they'd give you the syllabus and said, this is all the stuff you need to do. And at the end, this is how you're going to be evaluated. They didn't give you that at the end. Otherwise, you wouldn't know, if you did well or if you didn't do well. So I think evaluation starts in this need assessment process. So let's talk a little bit about those six steps. And basically, it's assessing your current situation. That would be step one. Envisioning the future, which is step two. Step three would be gathering information. Step four would be to analyze the information that you've gathered. And step five would be sharing your results. And step six would be to determine the next step. So if I may, I'd like to talk a little bit about each one of those steps. That sound good to you, honey?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
We will be back to hear more from Cindy about the steps you need to take to be sure that you are assessing training needs in a way that your company gets the best bang for their buck when it comes to designing and delivering training. When is the last time you found yourself in a sticky situation or having to deal with stinky people? I bet, like me, it happens more often than you want it to. Join me for the Training Institute's quarterly webinar. The webinar is free for members of the Training Institute. You can become a member of the Training Institute for $99 a year. That entitles you to discounts in our store and to attend all four webinars each year at no charge. Sticky Situations and Stinky People will air April the 2nd. You can go to our website, interaction-training.com, and right there on the homepage, you're going to see a slider about the Training Institute's quarterly webinar in April, April 2nd to be exact. You will want to know what to do when you come face-to-face with sticky situations and stinky people. So tune in to this eye-opening, fast-paced learning experience geared toward managing others in the workplace. There will be plenty of takeaways for any participant that wants to learn what to do when up against intimidating or frustrating situations or people. People that might appear to take pride in their lack of cooperation or rudeness. You will be taking notes and looking forward to putting what you learn to the test. You'll want everyone in your company to take a listen to Sticky Situations and Stinky People. Always following our webinars, the recording is available for purchase. So get registered and listen live and order the CD so that you will have that for everyone to listen to. Thursday, April the 2nd, 1:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay, so step one, let's talk about assessing your current situation. And that's, I say it's like taking a little snapshot picture of where you are right now. You know, when you say, we need customer service training, or you have someone come to you and say, our tellers need to do this better, whatever. We need to understand, okay, what does that mean? What I mentioned before, those pressure points. What is driving that? That prompts the question of why. What's causing this need for this training? Where are we now? And why do we think we need training? That's a good question to ask, is really taking that snapshot, assessing where you currently are, getting a really clear understanding of what people think the reason is why we need that. And usually we have that information. Usually it's like we know. So we're kind of putting it out on paper, you know, some bullet points really quick. And just remember, you might have thoughts on this, but you need to get some information from a lot of other people, like Honey alluded to, that, you know, you're going to talk with some other folks, and we'll talk about that a little bit in another step. So assessing your current situation, as much as you can say, why do we think we need this training? What's causing it? What's the pressure point? What's creating this need? Those are the things that you want to bullet on that step one. And then we move to step two, which is envisioning the future. And I come back to that starting with the end in mind, because that's where we need to look. We need to look out where we want to be, and then we're going to kind of work backwards from there. So step two really is, where do we want to be? A clear picture of what things are going to look like when this training is over, or if we don't do training, what is it going to look like? Maybe there's something else that's going to pop up. But for sake of conversation, just let's say we're going to do this training. What is it going to look like when it's done? What are people going to do? How are they going to act? What kind of skill level will they have? You know, we go back to the tellers. You know, will people, you know, consistently, and I know banks have, and credit unions, people have great customer service skills. But the thing is, are they consistently using them? Are they consistently interacting with customers and handling perhaps difficult customer situations the way you want them to? They might have it, but maybe not consistently. So what exactly is it going to look like after we do all this training? What, how are people going to act? What are their skill levels going to be like? What's going to be the do different that we want to see? And obviously, that's not something that we're just going to create ourselves in a vacuum. That's something we're going to have to go out and talk with some of our stakeholders that are involved. And don't worry how you're going to get there. Just frame it out. Just frame out where you want to go. Don't worry about how you're going to get there. Those are steps for later. Right now, we're just trying to figure out what it is that we need. So envisioning that future, that's a critical step. We need to know where we're going to go before we plan the route to get there. Step three is about gathering information. And, you know, Honey talked a little bit about this before. She mentioned, you know, some surveys and focus groups and ever. So now we have this envisioning the future. You know, we have some information about pressure points, which should lead to some questions. What do we need to know? What do we need to find out? So you want to come up with a list of questions that are going to help you uncover what these needs are. So, for example, you've got tellers that perhaps, I go back to that, are not consistently talking to customers about a product, or they are not consistently interacting with customers the way you would prefer. So you start to ask some questions. So, manager, tell me, you know, why do you think this is happening? Go to the tellers, ask them, say, you know, we've observed this. Can you help me understand? You're not trying to point a finger, but you're really trying to help understand because we want to help you with things. So you're gathering a lot of information. And this doesn't have to be a real formal, elaborate process. You're asking questions and taking some notes. And maybe you do some focus groups and you talk to different people, but you're going to start to see probably some patterns developing. You're going to start to hear maybe some of the same things from different groups of people, and then it's going to be, wow, yes, I'm getting there. This is where your active listening and your good questioning skills need to come into play. But, you know, as training folks, we have a lot of that because we use that all the time in our interactions with our participants in training. So you already have those skills. So, you know, it's not going to be something foreign to you. It's going to be very natural conversation. But I think what's real critical here in gathering that information are who are the people that are going to give you the best information? You know, who are you going to reach out to? But you can, again, do surveys. You can do focus groups. You can do interviews. I mean, a lot of banks, tons of information come from your mystery shops, but you've really got to tailor them to what is it that you want to learn. And then that will actually create the question for you. So what do I want to know? And then put your list of questions together. So that's kind of step three, the gathering information. And to be really honest with you, that's probably one of the more time-consuming parts. But time-consuming, I'm not talking about months and weeks and years. You know, this can be accomplished relatively easily as long as you target the right people. You should be able to do this fairly quickly. Then step four, you've got all this information. So now what am I going to do with it? You're going to sit down and take a look at it all, and you're going to start to see, once again, you will see that there'll be patterns of the same thing coming from different places, which might prompt you to go back and maybe ask a few more questions just to make sure. But really, the information is going to tell you a whole lot of things. You know, you want to see what kind of themes emerge, and then you want to start to prioritize the issue in relation to the desired outcome. You already know what it is you want to accomplish. But, you know, what might be some of the things here that are starting to pop out to say, yes, this is a training need. Yes, this is not a training need. My people really have all of those skills. They really know a lot about the products of the bank or credit union. They really know the process of how to refer a customer. Why isn't it happening? So maybe now that leads us to another place. Maybe training isn't the answer. But you're going to start to see these patterns emerge, and you're going to have a lot of information. So now what are you going to do with all of that? Well, step five, you're going to share that information. How are you going to use this going forward? You want to maybe meet with the shareholders, maybe you want to meet with their managers, meet with the people that are going to be the folks that are going to be the end users of your training, and present your findings. Tell them what you found. Tell it like it is with things. Identify some of those issues that you've come up with. And then start to listen and absorb the reaction a little bit. I know our tendency is probably right to jump in and say, here's what we found and here's what we need to do. And that's a great thing, but maybe not right away. Maybe we need to kind of put out there, I've talked with these folks, we've done some interviews, or we've done some mystery shops, this is what we found. And just kind of put it out there as almost a question and see what reaction you get back. That, I know sometimes that can be a little scary thing, but I think it's good because you want to get the buy-in. Because as we all know, what happens in our training, we can't make it all stick and work without the help of managers in the process and even our participants in the process. So I want to get some feedback from them based on what you found. And then step six is now we're ready to determine those next steps. What's the next step to move forward? What's the action plan, whether it be for training or non-training? When I say non-training, we might start to think about things like coaching. We might start to think about things like, you know, some type of review of expectations. Maybe it's not that people need training. Maybe they need to review what the expectation is of what they're supposed to do. For example, I was working in a bank, and they had the lobby managers or the greeters. And what would happen is that, you know, there wouldn't be people there for a while, and they'd kind of walk away. Well, then people would come in, and there was no one there to greet them. So it wasn't an issue that they didn't know what to do. It was more the expectation of you really need to be at this place ready to greet customers at all times. So it was really a review of expectation. It wasn't really, we didn't need to go back and retrain these folks on what they already knew. We need to look at something different. So out of that need assessment, you may find that there may be some things that training isn't the answer, but clearly your information is going to lead you right there. So now you're going to start to create your plan of action, and you're going to build, you know, what is the training going to look like? If training is the answer, what is it going to look like? And this is really going to help you pinpoint what should be in your training. And another example I might give you is that someone will say, we need customer service training. Well, when I think customer service, I think face-to-face with the customer. But they might be thinking customer service on the phone. All right, so we want to make sure that what we're hitting in our training delivery is exactly what the need is, that we zone in on exactly what the need is so that we get the desired result. And the other thing we want to build into there are some success indicators. Honey mentioned this earlier about evaluating. You know, we don't want to wait till the end to evaluate. We want to build some milestones and success indicators along the way. So, you know, in 30 days, this is what it's going to look like. This is where people should be. You know, in 60 days, this is where people should be. And that's also going to tell us what type of support folks might need after the training or what support people might need if I'm not doing training, which might be the coaching piece of it. And then we're going to like determine the accountability. That's part of the plan too, is how our manager is going to be part of this whole process in the need assessment. And then we're going to go out, we're going to implement whatever has come out of it. So, you know, going back to the very beginning, we want to take that snapshot of where we are right now. We want to take a look at where we want to be. So it's kind of the beginning, where we are now, fast forward to where we want to be. We're not thinking about how we're going to get there. We're just really trying to understand what the need is right now. Then we're going to go out. We're going to ask some questions. We're going to gather information, whether it be through the mystery shops or focus groups or surveys or questionnaires, whatever you might want to do. We have all that information. You sit down with it, take a look. You start to see some patterns. That's step four. You're going to analyze that information. You're going to start to see, oh, wow, I'm hearing the same thing over here from these folks. Oh, these folks are and you know what? You may also find some contradictory information, and that prompts just more questions. It's not for you to have to figure it out. Just go back and ask some more questions. Then you want to share that information back with all the folks that are going to be involved in the training to get their buy-in to things. And then lastly, you're going to determine your next step. So I think you can make it really, really simple if you just take those 6 points and kind of bullet them all out. I think that's going to give you some really good direction to get the training that you need and the results that hopefully you desire. How does that sound, honey?
Oh, I think it's very inclusive. I like how today you shared with the audience the importance of training needs assessment and that it doesn't have to be complex and complicated, but that there is a process for that. And I want to just key back in on a couple of points that you made, and that was, you know, when you said we want to zone in on what it is we want to see happen as a result of the learning that needs to take place, and that learning could take place, your examples were spot on. It could be that the learning is not where we want it to be because our expectations and objectives for different positions aren't as clear as they need to be. I think this has been great, Cindy. I think it was very inclusive. I think it helps our listeners who are so committed to doing their part. We have a listening audience that includes everything from a CEO to someone on the front line or in a call center and people who manage all of those, as well as trainers that are committed to delivering quality output that they want, whether that's in the details, the paperwork, compliance, or if it's in the delivery with their customer. So I want to thank you, Cindy, for being here today. I'd like invite you back in the future so that our audience can learn more from someone who's been in the trenches, as you mentioned, as a banker, as well as in that consulting role of trying to help a bank know, where do I start, where do I finish, how do I do this so that I can be more efficient. So, Cindy, I want to say thank you to you for giving the meat and potatoes that has to do with analyzing training needs. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you'll come back as our guest.
Honey, thanks so much for having me on your program. It was my pleasure, and I really hope this was of value to your listeners. Like I always say, you know, measure twice, cut once, and that's what need assessment is all about. So, good luck to you and the listening audience out there. And, honey, thanks so much for having me on your show.
So glad you could join us today and hear what Cindy had to say about assessing training needs. You won't want to miss next month's show. Training Matters will present Mark Bennett with Total Training Solutions. Mark and his team will be sharing with us about the Bank Trainers Conference that's coming up in Nashville in May. And Mark will be talking about how to make webinar topics a key part of keeping your staff trained and informed. Don't miss hearing what Mark Bennett has to say next month. Until then, be safe, learn all you can, and put it to good use.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.